Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on February 18th of 2021. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about some of the stuff we've been watching, all of which this week is anime, some of which is even on Toonami. Okay, so the first thing to mention, though, is the fact that, So they announced that Food Wars is coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, Assassination Classroom is going off, and we won't be getting the second season of that, right away. Didn't they air Assassination Classroom in the past?
I don't think they ever aired it on Toonami.
Okay.
But let me, I can check quickly on something. No, I'm looking at Wikipedia, which of course is always perfectly reliable, to see what it says for the English air dates. And normally if something had aired before, you know, it lists the first date, it would say what it is. But the dates it's listing are for its current run on Toonami. So I am pretty sure that is what they've... That's the time that they're doing... I'm stumbling over my words, I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure, therefore, that this is the first time they have ever aired it.
Okay.
So, yes, we've got one more episode of Assassination Classroom coming up this weekend, and then we'll have Food Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, I've already seen half of this new season of Food Wars, but I look forward to seeing it again.
Okay. Yeah, kind of amusing timing that they decided to do it.
Yeah, they decided right whenever they saw that I was going to decide to start watching it. They're like, okay, now we'll put it on. Made me wait long enough.
Okay, so now that we've gone through that, we will start up with, I guess, the stuff that we watched on Toonami. So To start off, we have Attack on Titan, episode 65. Let me just make sure. Yes, it is. So we get, and this is actually, so we get a flashback to that guy, Tiber, who... I actually totally misremembered. I thought he was a Warhammer Titan, but it was actually someone else. So sorry that I said that before. So so the flashback was about him saying, well, I have to sacrifice myself because they'll attack and all that stuff. And remember, it's a rule of anime that I need to have this big flashback just before I died.
Uh-huh.
Which is especially amusing because... This, in the manga, this wasn't a flashback. We saw this beforehand. So the rule of anime is so strong, they had to actually change the order from the manga to make sure he got the flashback and then died. So that happens. Meanwhile, Eren has attacked a bunch of, and is fighting the Warhammer Titan. A bunch of other people show up to fight against the Marleyans and stuff. Mikasa shows up and has decided to look just like Levi for some reason.
Yeah, that was odd. I watched it twice, and the second time she looked even more like Levi than the first time. So I'm like, boy, that's confusing.
Yeah, she's really cut her hair. That's a big thing. I think I heard that they changed her. I haven't looked at the manga for a while. I have to double check. I think they changed her design originally a little from the manga, and this season is done by a different studio, and I think they kind of switched her back more to the way she looked in the manga. But even beyond that, her hair, that's like the thing. She looks so different because it was already cut kind of short, but now it's really short.
Yeah.
So we've got that. Let's see. So Eren and Mikasa are fighting the Warhammer Titan, which keeps regenerating, but then they realize how to attack its weak point for massive damage.
I laughed too much at that. That's pretty funny. Yeah.
Yet another joke that I just saw someone else made and decided to repeat. So they managed to do that. Meanwhile, like I mentioned, the other guys are going around doing stuff. Finally, one of the Jaw Titan guys shows up, but then gets attacked, and Eren seems to fight him off. And yep, that I think covered the main stuff of the episode.
Yeah. In this episode, I was in the unusual position of agreeing with Mikasa, she tells Eren that, you know, that he's killed innocent people, that he's killed children, and that he's, you know, he's basically done whatever the bad guys have done. And I was like, yeah, she's right. And it's like, how are we supposed to cheer for Eren now that he's pretty much just as bad as he's as bad as the people who built this place? And you know, I don't know how I'm going to feel if Eren Jaeger ends up coming out on top with his friends and everyone still alive or whatever. Hopefully Eren has to pay for doing things like this, you know, because I don't know, he just doesn't seem very much like a hero anymore. But, you know, maybe it's all supposed to be this way and I'm supposed to feel this way, and then there will be a big payoff later. That's what I'm hoping for. So, you know, we'll see.
Based on what I've read of the later stuff, I'm pretty sure we are supposed to, at this point at least, be conflicted about Eren's actions. We're not supposed to be going, oh yeah, he's super awesome, awesome. But we're not also supposed, but not necessarily, you know, actually see him as a villain. We're at least supposed to see it as a bit ambiguous.
Yeah, it's kind of like how on, I always say this, but on the reality shows, you always have people who are edited into being heroes and edited into being villains. And the question is, what's Eren is getting kind of a mixed edit right now. And we don't know whether we're supposed to be on his side or against him. And yeah, speaking of reality shows, I just wanted to say this. My family has been watching this new reality show on CBS, and it's so funny that it uses the exact same tricks as The Amazing Race, and they don't catch on to the way, like, you know, in The Amazing Race, like, anytime you see someone struggling and then they go to commercial, you know that right after they come back from commercial, they end up finding what they were looking for. And this.
Oh, what show are you talking about?
It's called Tough as Nails.
Okay, go on.
It's like a reality show about, like, tough jobs and stuff. But like every time they go to commercial with someone who's struggling at something, as soon as they come back from the commercial, that person solves whatever they were struggling with. And it happened 3 times in the episode last night. My family never caught on that. It's like, oh, so they're just editing it that way. But yeah. Those edit rules kind of work for all reality shows, and they kind of, and then you got the editing of who's a hero and who's a villain. And right now we're not sure where an Eren Jaeger is supposed to be a hero or a villain. So he's got kind of like a mixed edit.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh yeah, I haven't watched Tough as Nails. It's okay, so it looks like it's in its second season, I guess. It started in July 2020. Was it invented as, well, we want, well, Phil Keegan wants to do something while The Amazing Race is on hiatus?
Maybe. I think it was made before the pandemic, the first season was. So I think they had it in the can. And then whenever Survivor ended up getting put on hiatus, they promoted The Amazing Race to replace Survivor, and then they needed something to replace The Amazing Race. So they put this show in, and now this show has taken Survivor's spot on the lineup. And it seems that Phil Keegan's doing a lot better than Jeff Probst did with his his solo work. The Jeff Probst show with lasted one season.
Okay. So, let's see. Yeah, I mean, right now they want their reality shows to be something that will allow them to keep people contained. That's how they were able to do Big Brother, because they just say, okay, no one going into the house has COVID. Okay, go in. We'll make sure that you don't get interacted with by anyone from outside. That kind of thing. Yeah. And they're bringing back Survivor is coming back too, right?
Yeah, it is eventually.
Yeah, same thing there. And of course, Shark Tank is, you know, that's that works like fine. You watch the episodes now, and all they really have to do is that they have the sharks sit farther apart, and instead of, you know, going up to physically, you know, shake hands or hug the people they make the deals with, they just kind of stay sitting there. So yeah, we got that. All right, so that was Attack on Titan. Then we have Assassination Classroom episode 21. So they managed to get past the next bad guy, the gun happy one, because they managed to confuse him and stuff. But anyway, it turns out that the actual major bad guy behind all of it is, what's his name? That guy who was in that one episode and acted nice to them, but then was mean, but then he lost a fight to Nagisa and left. So he wants revenge. So he basically ends up with just Nagisa because he wants specific revenge on him, and gets Nagisa really angry, and Nagisa apparently is going to try to attack him. So we'll have a fight or something. So, and that's where the episode ends.
It was kind of an awkward episode, actually, with that whole scene of Nagisa begging for mercy. It was like, is he really doing this, or is he got something cooked up that he's going to pull at the last second, you know, an assassin move? And I was commenting that Assassination Classroom, for being a show with the name Assassination in its name, there haven't been a whole lot of assassinations in this show.
Yeah, they're really... Who has actually died in the series?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has actually died.
Really?
There was that one. There was a flashback in the first episode that was with someone who looked like they might have died, but that you don't know anything about that, and even then it's not clear. So, I guess it's necessary to try to keep the show more lighthearted enough.
Yeah,
because even despite the more serious stuff, it's still. It's not like a pure comedy, but it's like sort of action comedy.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Well, the reason Nagisa, I think, was doing all the begging was because the guy was, you know, saying, oh, you got to do this or else I won't give the antidote. But then he destroys the antidote because has there ever been a villain ever in any fictional medium who says, hey, do this thing for me and I'll give you the antidote for the poison? And they actually did it.
Yes, there is one. And it's very specific. It is F-Zero GP Legend, the Game Boy Advance game, where Samurai Goro gets poisoned by his assistant, Antonio Guster. And Guster goes and he, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Guster, I don't know. But if you beat him in a race, he does give you the antidote. So it did happen one time.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm trying to think. I feel like there is one that I... No. I was thinking of something, but it wasn't actually that. It was where... I was thinking of this thing in this series called The Dresden Files, this book series, where a character basically... as part of this convoluted thing, poisons himself so that this person will stop pursuing them because they want them alive. And they're saying, well, I'm doing this and I'm going to go and do this other stuff. And if I don't achieve it, then I'll die. So you'd better let me go and let me do this stuff or else I'll just die and that won't be useful to you. Mm-hmm. And I actually like when someone, after they manage to do it, someone, you know, saying, well, that was a trick. He said, oh, that's not a trick. I'm actually poisoned. He said, you weren't bluffing? Okay. So that's something else. So, yeah. They just never give. I'm sure there's got to be some examples. But, yeah. It's definitely not something they do much of in fiction. Okay. So, then we have returning Black Clover, episode 137. Mm-hmm. So we have an episode which is really kind of two episodes.
Yep.
So the first one is about Charmy, who wants to make better food. So she does training to get better ingredients and such, except then the food comes alive and attacks them. But they're able to beat it by eating it. Then Gordon decides, well, I need to train on my own. So he goes off to be on his own. And then after a bunch of stuff, realizes, oh, wait, no, I was actually stronger with my friends.
Yeah. I really like the Charmy part of the episode. I was happy to get some Food Wars 2 weeks early. And... it was very entertaining, and I don't know if it's filler or not, but it was just nice to see Charmy do something rather than just saying, I'm hungry, even though that is kind of what she said.
Yeah, this whole thing, I've said it's that weird sort of canon filler where it's like, well, they did actually train during this time period and they consulted with the author to make sure that they followed the broad strokes of what he wanted because this was skipped over in the manga. But there's definitely, like, when I say broad, I'm sure, you know, there's stuff like, oh, these characters trained, this stuff happened. But I'm pretty sure a lot of these episodes aren't things that the author specifically had in mind. They're just stuff that the anime writers came up with. So I'm sure some of the things will be important, but most of it is basically filler. But it was still entertaining, especially the stuff with Charmy. Gordon's was less interesting because I realized very early on the lesson he was going to learn. It was kind of funny, the part where he was thinking, oh, they must, they, he's looking and is re, he comes back and no one's there and he's thinking, oh, they must have gone searching for me. I'd better go find them and help them. But they actually just went off because Yami wanted to make use of this, of the fact that this restaurant was having this super sale stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I did like the stuff with Charmy. That was amusing. I noticed the characters, that guy she went to for training, his name was Zumo or Jumo or something like that, and a bunch of characters saying, who is this guy? And I was thinking, yeah, who is this guy? I looked it up. I had a guess, and I did look it up. He was this person who made some food for her way back earlier in the series.
So back whenever Nero was still just a bird.
Yeah, I think it was around episode 14? It's not that exact amount, just that general thing, I think. I could actually probably look it up, but so there's that. There was actually one really funny line where after they get deal with the food, I like the part where Asta says, what did he say? You know, Charmy, I think that food was a little different than normal, and I'm not talking about the part where it tried to kill us.
Yeah.
That part, that line was good. So, other than that, okay, yeah, I think that covers Black Clover pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I half watched SSSS Gridman. It was, I don't know, it was a swimsuit episode. That's the only thing that I remember from it.
Man, see, I sort of watched it. I needed that fan service.
I was just there because I was watching Black Clover, and the problem I keep having is I'm thinking, okay, I gotta go to bed. Well, I'll just do a little more stuff on my computer. So I'm just sitting there and the show's on, and I'm just kind of every now and then kind of glancing at it quick. I'm like, yep, oh, okay, swimsuit episode. Still looking at this stuff. Yep, still that.
It's had a pretty early swimsuit episode. I mean, that's awfully early episode, what, 4 or 5?
5, but the series is only 12 episodes, so.
Oh, okay, so they got to get it in quick.
Okay, so, yep, that's all of our Toonami stuff. After that, we're on Yashahime episode 19. So there's a tournament thing for the, let's see, there's this fight thing for this princess where the bounty hunters are supposed to fight some guys, including Moraha, in order to prove their worth. And but then the whole thing was, but oh, how do I even explain? So apparently they were doing that, but the whole thing was pre-planned between them because they were trying to get jobs out of the fight, but she doesn't give it to them anyway because she just did it because she wanted to have fun or whatever.
Or because she needed to use up an episode with something, so.
And no one felt the need to at any point tell Toa, hey, this is what is going on. So you have all the stuff of her trying to fight, stop the fight.
Yeah, including crying over Moruha dying. It's just like, that was so obvious that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I was just so confused. Why not explain it to her? I could buy them not doing it beforehand because they didn't want her around there. But once she shows up, you could say, hey, this is the situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really just another episode. It's possible we'll see that Princess Bratty Princess Girl again because we did find out, apparently her father was that, I don't know, the guy from the first episode who had who was, I think, the boss of the guy who had taken Toa, and then they, you know, all beat him, I think. I'd have to double check. So we might, but as to the episode itself, it was just like, well, that was another episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, this show hasn't lived up to the promise it had early on. But that's because they're just dragging things out way too long. And I wish we would get some sort of bigger storyline, which we had for like two episodes, and that was it. And it's just kind of disappointing.
Yeah, the other problem is, I mean, I've seen people say, well, what are you complaining about? Inuyasha had a bunch of filler anyway. But I was just kind of thinking, well, first off, I think they were saying, like, even the manga had a bunch of stuff that, strictly speaking, you didn't really need. But Inuyasha at least always felt like it had a direction, even when it was wasting time with stuff. I don't know what the direction of this series is. They're kind of trying to find the dream butterfly or whatever, but they're not really taking much action towards that.
Yeah, I forgot that's what they were doing, actually. That's a bad sign.
Reminds me, actually, of towards the end of the first story arc of Rocky and Bullwinkle was about them trying to get this special rocket fuel formula because they accidentally made it, but then they lost half of the recipe so that it only said what was in it, but not how much was there. And there's this, and it goes on all these random divergences. I mean, it's Rocky and Bullwinkle. The plot doesn't really matter. It's just an excuse for jokes. But I just remember towards the end of that story arc, which was the longest one in the series. It lasted for 20 episodes, I think. Mm-hmm. 40 segments, because they have two segments in each episode. And there's this part where Rocky's like saying something like, well, now we've got the jet fuel ready. And Bullwinkle goes, oh, yeah, it's been so long, I forgot about the plot.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is right now.
Okay, so, yeah. So then we've got Ghost in the Shell, episode 46. So this time they managed to actually figure out where Kuze is. He's buying plutonium from the, was it the Russians? I think it was the Russians. It's always the Russians.
It always is.
It's, they were frequently the villains in 24 also, I remember. Which is weird, because whenever it was a Middle East, whenever it was terrorists from the Middle East, they would never, there's always a country, but they never referred to it as by name. They would always say your country, their country, all that stuff. It was apparently the whole same country throughout the whole series, but you never found out what it was. But with Russia, oh, they'll just say its name. So there's that. They go and try. So they go there. There's another shootout. And Kuze manages to get to plutonium and runs off. But Bato chases after him. And, you know, I'm not sure why Bato doesn't just shoot him. Maybe there's a reason, because Kuze does bring up, well, why don't you shoot me? So maybe there is a reason for that. But it does seem... Kuze's ready to just face him, and he has his underlings grab the stuff and run off, which is basically where the episode ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was actually a very entertaining episode, and I'm glad that there's kind of like a real, you know, and to borrow the word from Inuyasha, a sense of direction that it's going in as it comes down toward the end here, which, yeah, it's been pretty entertaining.
I thought the episode wasn't that interesting at first, but once it got into the action and the stuff, it got a lot more interesting. And it left me thinking, oh, I really am excited to see what happens in the next episode.
Yeah.
Although, unfortunately, cliffhangers like this it are the sort of things that tend to be resolved within the next few minutes of the episode.
Yeah, kind of like those commercial breaks in reality shows.
It like resolved in some way or another. It's kind of like, you know, that super famous cliffhanger in Star Trek The Next Generation where Picard's been taken by the Borg and Riker says fire on them, and that's the big cliffhanger ending. And then the beginning of the next season is like, well, we fired, but it didn't work.
Yeah, that's a very good one. Very good comparison.
Still a good episode, but that was fun.
Maybe
fact,
we'll eventually get to that one.
Yeah, I do remember, actually, the guy who wrote the first one, he wrote it without any idea of how it was going to conclude because he thought he was going to be leaving the show after that. I saw this interview with him. He's saying, I mean, I didn't know it was going to happen. I thought it was going to be someone else's problem. But then he was convinced to stay around and became one of the main writers. So then he had to think of how to actually get out of the situation he wrote himself into. Did a good job, but it is funny to know that.
Yep.
All right. That was Ghost in the Shell 46. Then we move on to ReZero episode 45. So we get a very long flashback. Then Subaru and Roswell argue. And Amelia comes out of the thing. And that was the episode.
Yeah. Well, I felt kind of like, okay, we're getting this whole big flashback for Beatrice, and it's like, are we just doing this so we can, like, pay her voice actor a little extra money because she got killed off already? Like, why is she showing up, and why is see such an important part of these flashbacks?
Beatrice, she died in the alternate timeline, so she's still alive.
Okay. So, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. I'm just really confused about, like, what is going on. I don't know how to describe it. Just like, you know, they have to go through this trial, but what exactly is the trial and why do they have to go through it? And then what's this whole thing about, like, Subaru being determined or something? Like, Subaru can't do squat. So I don't understand. I just don't understand any of this stuff so far.
Well, in regards to the sanctuary, it's because they have to go through the trial stuff, because if someone manages to do it, then it will remove the barrier from the sanctuary so people can leave. So that's the big thing there. I'm more confused because I'm sure it's been explained and I just forgot. I can't remember. My problem is I can't remember the because this gave us some backstory information on Roswell, Echidna, Beatrice, and that girl who always wears, I can't remember her name, but she's that short one that always has that thing around her that obscures her mouth. That's all I think of her as. What was it? I can't remember.
I can't remember her name either, actually.
But in any case, we got some stuff there. She went into the crystal to activate the things, but I'm confused about, so the one that we know now, she was different. Were they clones or something? I think at some point they said they were clones. The problem is there's been so much exposition in this season.
Yeah, there has.
I can't keep track of it. It's like the first half of the third season of Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
That I at least, Matt, understood, but that's because I read the manga, I think that section, twice, and then I saw the anime. So that actually got me to understand things. But the first time through here, I am feeling very... I'm still feeling confused about some things. But other things I get... My problem is I'm just thinking, we've gone through... So, let's see. How long was Emilia's flashback thing? So that was, okay, two episodes. And then we had... No, that was three episodes.
Yeah.
And then there was this one, which was also mostly a flashback.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's what I'm getting confused about. I'm like, okay, we're having all these flashbacks, but what is actually going on? Like, is there something Subaru needs to do in the flashback? I mean, is it... I don't know.
Well... My problem, I'm okay with Emilia's flashback because that was actually pretty, that was relevant. That was important. Yeah. This one, though, my problem isn't just the fact that it has some okay information. My problem is it went on so long. It really could have been cut in size.
Yeah. Was this another 29-minute episode?
Yeah, it's 29 and a half, although we did get the ending theme this time, the credits.
I mean, we did.
Well, not just the ending theme, because they've often played it, but they had credits appear while stuff is going on. This, I think, is the first time this season we've actually seen the ending credits sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how last episode, I think, was the first time we saw the opening theme.
Yeah.
I mean... I guess they got to try to pack stuff in, but I just can't help but feel, well, you could have done it faster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of curious. How were the flashbacks like this in the book? Where did they just go on this long?
You know, I have the first novel, but that's it. So I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll be finding out. It's annoying because I'm actually really excited for where this arc goes. It just isn't going.
Yeah, it's kind of stuck in neutral.
Let's see. Although I did learn what odd, I learned a new word, or was that how it's pronounced? O-D? Odd? Ode? I think it's pronounced odd. I know what that is now. I looked it up. It's actually a word. I thought it was a typo in the subtitles. It's actually a word.
Mm.
It is a hypothetical power once thought to pervade nature and account for various phenomena, such as magnetism. Mm. But, so, yeah, that, it's an obscure word. I was curious about that, and I was thinking, wait, is that like a typo? So I looked at the Spanish how that was rendered in the subtitles, which I sometimes do because I know enough Spanish, I can usually read that stuff. But, and then it like wrote it as Oda, like O-D-O, and I was like, oh, okay. And if you look in a Spanish dictionary, I looked in Spanish dictionary, it's not even there. It's so obscure. Maybe it wasn't even a Spanish word. It was, they just had to like, you know, come up with some thing. It's, let's see, I'm checking. Huh, interesting. I was checking the thing ode or odd or however it's pronounced on Wikipedia. I was looking to see what its Spanish page was. That's how you can often just see what the Spanish word for something is. You go to Wikipedia, you find the page and you look and says, okay, other languages, what does it say for Spanish? You just click on the Spanish link and see what the article title is. So yeah, it calls it, yeah, like it calls it, just it mentions it ode, so I don't know, maybe the person who translated the Spanish thing, well, maybe it did know that and Wikipedia doesn't mention it, or maybe they just didn't know what it was, so they just threw in that word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting sometimes to see some of the stuff. For example, apparently the equivalent of neat in Spanish is nini. Because neat in English, you know, is not in education, employment, or training. In Spanish, nini is apparently short for ni estudia ni trabaja, which means neither studying nor working.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now you know. I just think it's funny that neat is like literally, even though that's an American. Is that term more common in Japanese? I feel like I've seen it more in anime than in actual English.
Yeah, I don't know.
Then again, maybe we've just been watching the anime that more frequently would reference that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because so many isekai protagonists are supposed to be neats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's see. Was there anything else I had to say? Nope, that was it. Not much happened, really.
Yeah, really.
Okay. That time I got reincarnated as a slime, episode 30.
So, yeah, this episode is really shocking because Rimuru actually goes up against an enemy who he doesn't just kill in one shot. Or at least not yet, and his pals are also going up against strong enemies, and so like for the first time since maybe episode one, we actually have some real conflict and some really enemies who can actually pose a threat. So I'm actually kind of, I'm a little more interested about this than I usually am.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that, although they did have to explicitly say, oh, we've put this anti-monster barrier, so you're all weakened.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very convenient.
Yes, but at least they're actually struggling, which is more than any character ever did in Overlord.
Yeah.
To be fair, that was, what, 10 episodes or something? And it took us, and now we're in episode 30 of Slime, so it did take a while to actually get to a real strong challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever ended up having to do that in Overlord. All I know is I didn't care for the first season, and what I kept seeing everyone say was, the first season was the best. So
Yeah, that one was probably the weakest of the Isekai Quartet. I'm not sure if it was the weakest of the Isekai Quintet with Rising of the Shield Hero, or whatever that was called, which made that cameo appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only seen a few episodes of that, and I don't think you've seen any.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so yeah, that was that time I got reincarnated as a slime. Although it is kind of annoying that the whole fight is the character is like saying, I'm angry that you killed, what was her name again?
Shizu, I think.
Shizu? Okay, I was thinking, well, I was trying to remember, I was thinking, was it Shinzu? Was it she? At least I mean the ballpark.
Yeah.
So there was that, and Rimuru, you know, tries to say stuff, no, we were friends and stuff, but it's a little weird that Rimuru doesn't, it seems like Rimuru doesn't actually bother to explain the fact that, okay, I killed her, but that's because she was about to die and she said I could take her power.
Yeah, really. I was confused by that. Like, why did he say, oh yeah, I killed her? That didn't make much sense.
It's like that bit from that Star Trek episode, the one with the where the Ferengi first show up. The Ferengi are saying, ah, they have refused to share their technology and they have let civilizations be destroyed. And then Riker and Data are like, yep, that's totally the case. And then like, and then you think you're going to say, you're about to give the explanation, but they don't. It just stops there. They don't explain anything. But yeah, this was like Ghost in the Shell, one where the cliffhanger actually left me interested in what will happen next.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Rimuru is going to survive, but I don't know exactly whether he'll necessarily win the fight. One problem I've got is that it was very specific that, oh, if you get struck by the sword again, you will die. So that's kind of saying, well, I guess he can't just get regular defeated then. So I'm assuming he's going to win this.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like the thing where in Bleach, Soifon had that seek eye that could kill anyone in two hits. So you always knew that she was going to hit them once and never a second time.
Yeah, she had to, well, no, she had to hit them in the same place. That was the rule. She had to hit them in the same place twice and then, yeah, and such. And yeah, did she ever kill anyone with that? I think she might have in filler.
Yeah, maybe filler, but
I'm trying to think. I know she had a fight against one of the Bounce, and I know she landed a hit, but then had to run off for a while and then came back and beat the guy. But I can't remember if she hit him in the same place or if it was something else. I think she hit him in the same place. So yay, that power worked in a filler episode.
Yeah, what would you rather have? Would you rather have her Shikai or her Bankai? Because I feel like if you can kill someone in two hits, that's actually pretty good. And you may not even need a Bankai for that purpose because, I mean, it's only have to hit him twice, and yeah.
I can't even remember what her Bankai is. I know it has something to do with shooting something, and it didn't work anyway.
It's like a missile kind of thing.
Let me. I'm looking it up. I'm trying to remember what it was. Okay, let's see. What's her Bankai? Trying to look it up. Yeah, well, I think she only used it once, and when it happened, it didn't actually defeat the guy because Barragan was broken.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so let's see. Bankai ability. Let's see. I'm just reading through it to refresh my memory. Yeah, it's just to fire this super powerful blast, and if I remember correctly, I think it leaves her exhausted afterwards. So yeah, her Shikai seems legitimately more powerful.
Yeah, see.
If I remember correctly, like the reason that wouldn't work on Barragan was wasn't if you got too close to him, like his thing would basically kill you. So
yeah, it would like make you age or something. It was something like that. I forget what it was. It was something that if you touched them, like your body would. But basically what you said, basically it will die. Yeah,
it made you age super fast or something like that. But yeah, so it's so weird, he's the second place Espada, and he's not able to, and he's basically invulnerable and is only beaten by Deus Ex Machina, by Hachi doing something. And then you have the number one Espada, who gets beaten by Shunsui, who doesn't even need to use his Bankai.
Who was the number one person? Oh, was that really weird?
It was Coyote Stark. He was the one with the guns.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah. Yeah, now I remember. Okay.
I don't blame you for forgetting. He wasn't very memorable.
Yeah. I do remember a cosplayer of Stark in a panel I was in, but yeah.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of the Espada looking back were pretty forgettable. Why is it that the one I remember the most is Yami? And that's mostly because of that part where he's like, I'm the zeroth rank Espada. I'm the strongest. I'll get beaten off screen.
When is that coming back, by the way?
I have no idea. I want it back so much. And when it comes back, we'll have to wait longer, unfortunately, for Adult Swim to do it. But I assume they will. I probably won't watch the sub. I feel like I gotta watch it dubbed.
Yeah, we'll... more than half our shows will be devoted to that.
It will be very interesting. There is so much stuff there. I just can't wait to get to the Grammy fight, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
That's I kind of want to talk a little without giving too big spoilers, because I know that I'll mention it and then by the time we get to it, you'll forget. There's this like one character who has a power of imagination, which means he can make anything happen. So instead of, you know, just like imagining his opponent's dead or whatever, he just like does the weird stuff like, I'm going to imagine a comet coming from the sky to hit you. Okay. Please come back, please. Okay. So, right. So, that was all of our shows then. All right. So, for my top three episodes, well, for these ones, I know what my three are. I'm just pondering briefly what order to put them in. Okay. So, I'll put in Black Clover in third place, then That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime in second place. And I'll put Attack on Titan in first place.
Okay, mine's pretty similar, actually. I'm going to put Slime in third, Black Clover in second. But first place, probably go with Ghost in the Shell. I thought that was a pretty entertaining episode this week. And it seems to be kind of coming towards a exciting conclusion, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, well, we've only got, I think, what, six episodes of it left?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how many episodes we've got of ReZero. We'll be having some new shows to replace them when that happens.
Yep. Yeah, I'm trying to find my one DVD of one of the things I was looking at, although I could probably just find it streaming anyway, but yeah, we'll see. Okay.
All right, so that's been Toonami Therapy on this date, as opposed to other dates. Right. I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good thing to go out on, but I'm, as usual, blanking on stuff. So, okay, here's something interesting. Have you ever noticed that maybe you don't. How many other languages other than English do you know? I'm not even saying fluent. I mean, just know a little about it.
Yeah, just Spanish.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed something in some of the languages that I've kind of been trying to study and stuff, some of which my knowledge, well, for Spanish I know pretty well, for the other ones my knowledge is much lower, but I've noticed whatever the verb for to be is always a super irregular verb in terms of conjugations. Like, you look in English, it's like be is probably the most irregular verb in the whole language, because normally the infinitive, which is, you know, to whatever, to walk, to sleep, for the present tense, you just drop the to. So, you know, to sleep, I sleep, you sleep, that kind of stuff. But not to be, which for some reason switches to am, is, and are. I think it might be the only verb in the language that has a separate tense for the first person singular.
And yeah, that's true.
And its past tense are weird also, you know, becomes was and were. And, you know, when you say I had something, you know, I had been, it's not I had was or I had, you know, something like that. But then it's the same in the other languages, too. In Spanish, the verbs for to be are ser and estar. Both of them are really irregular verbs in a bunch of conjugations. To clarify, when I say irregular, I mean they don't conjugate according to the normal rules that you have.
Yeah.
In German, the verb for to be is irregular. In Latin, it's irregular. In Japanese, it's irregular. I was so curious about this. I asked my mother because she knew a little Polish and Russian. I'm like, is it irregular? And she's like, yep, it's irregular in those languages. Why is this verb always irregular in everything, it seems?
Yeah, that's yeah. I kind of thought about that in a way before, but just in English. I didn't realize it was like that in like all languages.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's irregular in different ways, but it's just such a weird verb. I mean, ser is one of only three verbs that are irregular in the imperfect tense in Spanish. Which I might have mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. The imperfect tense is the most perfect tense in the entire language because there's only three irregular verbs in that tense. That's it. So, yeah, maybe it's just because it's such a common word that it just got weird as a result of that, maybe. That's all I can think of. It seems like it's the common verbs that... the most common ones that tend to be irregular, the most frequent.
Yeah.
So there you go. If I ever end up learning any other languages, I'll be able to tell you how their versions of to be work out, and if they're also irregular and weird. Just like languages in general, why can't we have a nice, simple language that's, you know... without all these exceptions. Although, honestly, compared to a bunch of languages, English grammar isn't that bad. If it weren't for the pronunciations and spellings, it would actually be a pretty easy language. All right, so there you go. Linguistics information. That's my random tidbit on what on stuff to leave you with. So... yep. Now that I've wasted a few minutes with that, I guess I'll tell you that we'll see you next week, and I can't think of a good way to make that whole to be discussion in there, so come up with some kind of pun or something yourself.
Okay, bye-nee.